for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, November the 25th, 2016. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the evening, teaching on the wise and foolish virgins.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Has God extended His mercy upon America once again?
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I tell you, I don't know about you, but I have felt some heaviness lift off this nation. Have you felt it among the saints? Now, there's some people that have to have color books in Play-Doh and have to have animal caretakers. But anyway, but the righteous, I tell you, God has had mercy on us. And He's raised up a leader that will favor Christians. He's raised up a leader that will inspire us to do better here in America. It's almost like before it was hopeless because you had no one to lead that was leading you in the right direction. And doesn't matter what party you're in or what. I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat. I'm a Christian. That's what I used to tell my daddy when he tried to get me to vote a certain way. One time he gave me $500 and he said, "Go buy you a TV." "I want you to vote for Bill Clinton." Said, "Daddy, I'm a Christian. I'm not any party." But my faith has been so encouraged because I started watching. I used to see Donald Trump as this crazy guy that had a yellow cat sitting on his head. And the first debate, I'm not going to speak about Donald Trump tonight, but I'm going to say a little bit because I'm dancing around my prayer room. I wore a hole in the floor dancing. when I heard him on the first debate speak the truth, I thought it is about time somebody spoke the truth. And somebody that doesn't care what people think, is not going to take a salary, doesn't need the job, but loves America. And if you go back even 30 years when he was a young man, he was saying the same thing. He didn't want to run for president, but it was time that this happened, and he didn't change his message just to run for president. So we need to pray for him because the One World Order, the Illuminati, wants to do, they'll do anything to stop him or anything to try to kill him. So, Lord, we all pray a hedge of protection, a wall of fire, your warring angels around him, and we declare that no weapon formed against him or America will prosper in Jesus' name. We pray the words of his mouth, the meditations of his heart will be acceptable to you, that you'll give him great discernment. And, Lord, we ask that he not appoint any establishment, one world order people in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Let me find my message now. But I'm happy. I feel like hopelessness has left this nation, and we now have hope. Praise the Lord. If I can find my message, where is it? Here it is. This message tonight is on the wise and foolish virgins, or the wise and prudent. I'm sorry, the wise are the prudent, and the foolish is the opposite of the wise, of course. And in Matthew 25, it talks about there were 10 virgins, five were prudent or wise, and five were foolish. And it says that the wise had oil for their lamps, which represents the Holy Spirit, because oil in the Word of God is a type and shadow for the Holy Spirit. But the foolish had no oil for their lamp. And they went and they wanted the wise to give them some of the oil for their lamps. They said, "Go to the merchants. The merchants are the false prophets that tell you you're okay, you can live in sin, or the easy greasy grace teachers that tell you because you got your ticket punched, you don't have to deal with your sin, that you can live after the flesh and still get to heaven. Those are the dealers or the merchants." But it's a picture of the church today. It's a picture of church members. There's the wise and there's the foolish. And so I pray tonight that the Lord will show you which you are, and if you're not a wise virgin, that God will make you a wise person. You know, the virgins are supposed to be the pure bride of Christ. When we enter into a covenant relationship with Jesus, we're to be the bride of Christ. And if our heart goes after other lovers, then we commit spiritual adultery. But God is coming for a pure bride without spot or wrinkle. And the trials you go through, the purpose of those trials is to iron out the wrinkles. And the scripture says in Romans 8 that everything works together for good to those that love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. So the purpose of the trial is to conform you into the image of Christ. Now, everything doesn't work together for good to those that don't let God conform them into the image of Christ. The trials you go through are to perfect you, to realign you with the Word of God, to bring correction to your life, to conform you more into the image of Christ. And we should be changing from glory to glory and strength to strength. I mean, we all have to die, but we don't have to be senile or feeble. In Jesus' name, he came to set us free and to heal us. The more repentance you do, and let me tell you, there's no deliverance, there's no healing, there's no salvation without living a repentant lifestyle. You just don't repent once and stop. Listen, every day is a day of repentance. I felt some things coming on me from the Thanksgiving lunch of maybe somebody that had a cold when they cooked something. But you know what? A curse that I cause cannot light. Well, how did it light? Cursing the evil politicians out there. And so I started repenting and had a few people pray for me. David prayed for me, and we prayed in the prayer group this morning. And I'm telling you, I'm healed in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, you know, you can feel something coming at you, and if you start repenting, you can see it go that way. And that's what happens. So praise the Lord. But it's a lifestyle. It's not just a one-time repentance. And without repentance, you don't expect to ever get anything from God. The Bible says the double-minded man will not receive anything from God. But the wise and foolish virgins is a picture of church members. Some are wise and some are foolish. You know, the foolish don't go to heaven. You know, Howard Pittman says 10% of church members are saved. Leonard Ravenhill, I think, said only 5% of church members are saved. But according to this scripture, it might be 50-50. There were five wise ones and five foolish ones. And Jesus said he was the light of the world, but he talked to the disciples and he said, "Disciples, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven." Now, there's lots of meetings where they'll say, "Come and get God's glory." You don't get God's glory at a meeting. The more Jesus you have, the more bright the light shines through you, and the more of his glory you have. And so Jesus is the one that gives you the glory. He's the one that lights your lamp. He is the light of the world. And no man at some false meeting with some false prophet is going to give you the glory. And be careful of meetings that are not teaching you to deal with your sin. Be careful of meetings that are not talking about living a holy life, because without holiness, no man will see the Lord, period. And he says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Now, we need to die to our flesh and let him out. Let him be who he is. Let his character and nature come through. Because the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, is his character and nature. You can strive all day to be love, joy, peace, and you cannot be. You can turn the potter's wheel. You can try anything, but it's only his character and nature that is produced in you, manifested in you, when you die to your flesh. Now, the foolish virgins had no oil for their lamp. When Jesus said, "Be the light of the world," they had no oil. Acts 5:24 says, "He gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him." You don't obey to be saved. You obey because you are saved. It's not you're saved by grace and not by your works. You're not saved by what you do. But let me tell you, when God does a work in your heart, you cannot. If you've truly been born again, you can't stand it when your heart's not right. I'm telling you, it's like hot wax poured out. And I can't stand it. And don't be a person that hangs on to your sin. The minute you sin, deal with it. I can't stand the way I feel when I sin. And you can't either, if you're honest. So the dictionary definition of foolish is one of the Hebrew definitions is simple, silly, and easily seduced. And so it means resulting from or showing lack of sense, ill-considered, unwise, foolish action, foolish speech, lacking in forethought or caution, trifling, insignificant. And wise means, let me turn it this way. And the wise means having the power of discerning and judging properly as to that what is true and right, possessing discernment, good judgment or discretion, characterized by showing power judiciously prudent. It means to make wise decisions, possessed or characterized by scholarly knowledge and learning of what's right, knowing the Word of God. And you can't be wise without knowing God's Word, because that's the plumb line. If it doesn't line up with God's Word, it didn't come from God. Having knowledge, it means, basically, it means to be smart in the things of God. It means to be wise as a serpent and innocent as a dove. And I'm just going to name some of the characteristics of the wise taken from Psalms and Proverbs. There's other places. I didn't go through and pull out all the ones on the fool, but being a fool is just the opposite of a wise person. So if a wise person does a certain thing, a fool does just the opposite. So I want you to be repenting as I name these things, because when we read all these things about the wise, we think, dear Lord, we're a mess. So don't get overwhelmed. Be confident of this very thing, that God has begun a good work in you, will perform it into the day of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that He will. I'm thankful that it's up to the potter. He's the potter and you're the clay. Now, all the clay has to do is yield to the potter, which is obey, but I don't like to say obey, because then you think, oh, I better turn that potter's wheel some more. You think of doing legalism. But to be on the potter's wheel, the clay is under the control of the potter. He's yielded to the potter. The potter does all the work. He takes out the trash. He takes out the junk. He fashions you. He molds you. He makes you into the person that He foreordained for you to be. He fires you. He beats the bubbles out. He irons out the wrinkles. He does all of that. All the clay has to do is yield to the potter, because when we yield, faith purifies your soul. I believe, I don't know what scripture that is in Acts. I'm thinking it's Acts 15, but not sure. It says faith purifies his soul. Now, you have to have faith to yield to the potter if you've grown up in trauma and grown up with rejection and not being taken care of. You believe a lie that God's just like your dad, and it takes faith, or like your mom, it takes faith to give up to a God that you think is going to hurt you. But the scripture says that faith will purify your soul, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so I'm going to name the characteristics, but anyway, if you can just not get into legalism and think, boy, I have to turn the potter's wheel, but remember, all your part is to yield to the potter. The clay does one thing, stay yielded, stay on the potter's wheel, and that's what it means to abide in Christ. And it says in John 15 that if you abide in Christ, you'll produce much fruit, because you're connected to the vine. But if you're, because Jesus is the vine and you're the branches. And if you disconnect through rebellion, guess what? You dry up like a branch, and they're gathered and you're burned. And God says you're cut off. And so the characteristics of the wise. And so don't get into legalism or performance or thinking it's something you got to do to fix yourself. You just keep on yielding. Keep on confessing your sins. Keep on asking God to forgive you. Keep on lining up your life up with the Word of God. And guess what? He will change you into His likeness. Because everything you go through, if you yield to the potter and you go to the throne of grace, you get strengthened, confirmed, established, perfected. You come short of the grace of God and you receive a root of bitterness. And then you get sick. And this is not a condemnation, but if you're here sick today, it's because there's sin in your life that you're going to have to confess. And you may have to go all the way back to your childhood and make a sin list. I've done that 2 or 3 times. I'm still repenting. I mean, I saw something else in the Word today that I haven't repented of, and I'll share with it when I get to that scripture. But as I read these, the characteristics of the wise, I want you to ask yourself, am I this way, or have I been a fool? And I want you to be repenting as I name these things. The characteristics of the wise, and the opposite is the foolish. A wise person, he'll hear and increase in learning. In other words, you try to correct him and you tell him the truth, and he'll learn more. It says in Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will accept wise counsel, or will acquire wise counsel. A wise person will heed instruction. Proverbs 8:3 says, heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. A wise person will love you if you correct them, but a fool will hate you if you correct them. Proverbs 9:8 says, do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. So here you're saying that a fool is also a scoffer, scoffs at the things of God. A wise person will, you give a wise man instruction and he'll be wiser. And I shared that, but I'll share again. Proverbs 9:9 says, give instruction to a wise man and he'll be wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase his learning. A wise person will receive God's commands. In other words, he'll be quick to obey. Proverbs 10:8 says, the wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be thrown down. So here you can say he's likening a fool to a babbling person that babbles, talks all the time. We have a precious man in our church, and he, David's words is he hijacks people. And I say he hems them in. Well, man, with words. I mean, he doesn't even come up for air. I mean, he'll corner people, and they'll stay in a corner, and he'll just babble, babble, babble. And Lord, we ask you to convict him of his sin. And Lord, in Jesus' name, we ask you to cover him with your love. Let him feel so secure that he don't have to talk all the time because he feels rejected. Deliver him from his pride. Deliver us from our pride because we're full of it too. So forgive us, Lord. Sorry I mentioned your name, David. But I thought that was an interesting word, hijacked. I tell you, David is my best friend. He is my prayer buddy. All these years, I remember having a thought about 10 years ago, because I saw a calling for ministry on his life. And I remember just thinking, oh, one of these days, maybe he'll travel with me. And now he takes me places, and bless his heart, thank you, Lord. After I lost Laurie, my prayer buddy of 30 years, the Lord moved him home from Austin, 300 yards from me, and we pray together once a week. And so it's such a blessing. Praise God. And so a wise son receives God's commands. Proverbs 10. He doesn't babble. A wise person will store up knowledge. And that means he gets all of God's word that he can get in his heart. It says in Proverbs, by wisdom a house is built, by understanding it's established, and by knowledge all the rooms are filled with precious treasure. The scripture also says that knowledge increases power. So the more knowledge of God's word you have, if you want more power with the Lord, the more of God's word you know, the more power you'll have. Proverbs 10:14 says, wise men store up knowledge. In fact, it says in Psalms, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to God's word. God's word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, that's a scripture that's used in the Navigators a lot. Hiding God's word in your heart. A wise person guards his mouth. And I don't know if about you, but my mouth has been my undoing.
Uh-oh.
And I remember a time that it's right, not today, because I'm speaking God's word. I mean, not babbling anymore. I used to go out to lunch with somebody, and I tell you, I'd run off the mouth so much I'd come away condemned. And I thank God that occasionally Very rarely does that happen anymore. That's how much deliverance I've had. You don't hear people say, you know, I'd really like to go back to yesterday. I'd like to live back. I'd like to start my... I wouldn't. I've overcome so much, I don't want to go back because I might not make it next time. It's true. People that say they want to go back, they never overcome anything. If they say that, they haven't ever got the victory over their sin nature. So a wise person guards his mouth. Proverbs 10:19 says, where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. A wise person, being a tree of life, he's a soul winner. A few years ago, the Lord convicted me that I was letting people go by that I wasn't talking to them about the Lord. And I purposed, Lord, from now on, I don't want to stand before you, Lord, and there'd be people that went to hell because I didn't tell them about you. So I purposed in my heart that when the Holy Spirit spoke to me that I would tell each person about the Lord that God told me to. It says, he who wins souls, it says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who's wise wins souls. Do you realize how fast time is flying? Do you know in 10 years, that's only 3,650 days? Have you ever thought about that? If you live 20 more years, if I live 20 more years, I'll be 98 years old in 20 years. And that's, if it's 3,650 days in 20 years, that's only 7,000 something days. And they go like this. And the older you get, the faster they go. And, you know, we don't have much time. I want the Lord to say to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. Don't you want that? I don't want to shrink back at his coming. A wise person will listen to counsel. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who will listen to counsel. A wise person's tongue brings healing. Proverbs 12:18 says, there's one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword. So that would be a fool that would speak words that would just be cutting and spiteful and mean. There's one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 50, where God speaks to the disciples, those that God lets discipline them are the disciples. And I agree with Nikki, if you're not a disciple, you don't go to heaven. I agree with that. Because the Bible says that a disciple lets God discipline them. It says, God says, in Isaiah 50, I will give you the tongue of a disciple that you might sustain the weary one with a word. And morning by morning, I'll wake up your ear to listen as a disciple. Lord, wake up our ears to listen. Give us the tongue of a disciple in Jesus' name. Proverbs 12:18, there's one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. A wise person will accept discipline. And God disciplines every son whom he loves. If you're not being disciplined by the Lord, you don't know the Lord. You might be going through all kinds of trauma and upheaval and feel like you're living in hell on earth, or you might be a happy lost person temporarily, but it won't be happy in eternity. Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. David and I were talking down here. Sometimes people are so wounded, it's like they won't receive the truth. They're so wounded, they're like a wild animal caught in barbed wire, and you're trying to cut them out, and they bite you when you're trying to get them out. Are you that kind of a person? And Lord, we pray for the people we know that are like that. We ask you, God, to save them. We ask you to heal their wounds. We ask you to touch them. Lord, make them people that receive counsel. It says, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. I want to say something, too. Sometimes people are so perfectionistic that they can't admit they're wrong because that means they're not perfect. Are you a perfectionist? Are you a person that can't accept correction because that means you're not perfect? So, Lord, we pray for everybody that we know. And if we're that way, deliver us, Lord, from the idolatry of perfectionism, of having to perform to be loved. It goes back to rejection. Growing up, having to be perfect. David and I both have grown up in under perfectionism, both of us. And it started with me, because I'm the one, you know, we say it's not my mother, not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. Dear Lord, I think of some of the things I've done and said. My goodness. Oh, God. Thank God that my kids are godly in spite of me. And that he accepts discipline. Proverbs 13:1. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. A wise person will what he teaches you, he's a fountain of life, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 13:14 says, the teaching of the wise is the fountain of life to turn aside from the snares of death. Make sure your pastor or whoever you're sitting under is a tree of life. Make sure they're speaking truth. I thank God that my son's my pastor and he speaks life. I thank the Lord for that. I mean, for years and years and years, from the time I became a Christian and I attended Milk Green Seminar in 1982, it was like every church I went to was like hitting the ground. Nobody was teaching the Word of God. And I prayed for years and years and years for the kind of church I have today. And it just happens my son's a pastor. Praise God. That blesses me so much. And it encouraged my son when I said, we have the kind of church I have prayed for since I've been a Christian, 50 to 60 years. Actually, 62 years. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise... Oh, a wise person that associates with wise people. That doesn't mean that he doesn't try to win souls. It doesn't mean that he doesn't, his life doesn't touch lost people, but he doesn't fellowship and associate with lost people. He hangs with wise people. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Proverbs 15 says, evil companions corrupt good morals. A wise person builds his spiritual house. And of course, we're a spiritual house. He builds his spiritual house by wisdom. A house is built by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it's established, and by knowledge it's filled with precious possessions. Proverbs 14:1 says, the wise woman, and of course men and women are going to be the bride of Christ. So a lot of times when the Bible is talking about women, he's talking about men and women, because we're going to be the bride of Christ. It says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hand. And one of the definitions of hand in the Hebrew is mouth. Tears it down with the mouth. You have what you say, good or bad, evil or good, negative or positive. If you believe in your heart what you say, you have it. And so we tear things down with our mouth. We curse people with our mouth. We beat people down with our mouth. God wants us to speak blessings on people. The wise person is humble and he stays away from evil. Proverbs 14:16 says, a man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. Are you arrogant and careless? A wise person has the ability to make knowledge acceptable. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. The wise... My little iPad jumped, I'm sorry. Wise people spread God's word. Proverbs 15:7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the heart of fools... are not so. The wise walk the narrow way. Proverbs 15:2 says, the path of life leads upward for the upright, for the wise. Leads upward for the wise. They walk the narrow way. The scripture says there's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. There's false prophets that says there's going to be a great revival, and y'all have heard this, a great revival over the whole earth, and two-thirds of the earth is going to be saved and come to Jesus. Two-thirds of the world's coming to the Antichrist. There's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that finds it. When you hear a prophecy like that, it's a false prophecy. The wise understand, and they speak wisely. In Hosea 4, it says... the people without understanding are ruined. Understanding is the truth that sets you free. But wise people have an understanding. They know the truth that sets them free, and they speak sweetly. In the Song of Solomon, it talks about the king speaks to the bride, and he says, "Your mouth is so sweet, my darling." So the bride's mouth is sweet, not bitter. It says, "The wise of heart will be called understanding, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness." A wise person teaches his mouth. In other words, he thinks before he speaks. And if he keeps thinking that he needs to speak the wrong thing or keeps speaking the wrong thing, he needs to find out how that got down in his heart, because you can't tame a person's tongue, but you can get your heart pure, and then your words will be pure. So you have to find out, where did those words get planted in my life? What happened in my life that caused me to speak those words? Even evil thoughts. Think about what you're thinking. That comes out of the heart. What's been planted down in my heart that needs to be pulled down, uprooted, and plucked out? And I need to plant and rebuild by speaking God's word. So a wise person teaches his mouth. Proverbs 16:23 says, "The heart of the wise instructs his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips." A wise person does not partake in anything that intoxicates. The scripture tells us to be sober for the purpose of prayer. It says in Ephesians, "Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, "Wine is a strong drink and a brawler, and whoever partakes of it is not wise." My New American Standard says, "Whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise." A wise person receives counsel before he makes plans. Proverbs 20, verse 18 says, "Prepare plans by consolation and make war by wise guidance." A wise person knows the authority that he has over the devil, and he scatters the wicked, and he drives a threshing sledge over them. And I don't know what a threshing sledge is, but it doesn't sound like it's good. Proverbs 20 verse 26 says, "A wise king, and you're a king and a priest, according to the word of God. He winnows the wicked, and he drives a threshing sledge over them, threshing wheel over them." A wise person has spiritual treasure and is full of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 21, verse 20 says, "There's precious treasure and oil, the Holy Spirit, in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up." A wise person has discernment and knows his authority, that the weapons of his warfare are not worldly, but mighty to God for the smashing down of strongholds. And it says that he scales a city, meaning that he observes the city. And of course, Jesus said that we were cities when he told his disciples. He said, "Disciples, I'm the light of the world." And he said, "You're the light of the world. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven." He said, "For a lamp is not made in other words, you don't want to cover a lamp with a peck measure." And so a wise man, he observes, he has discernment, and it says he brings down the stronghold in which they trust. Proverbs 21:22, a wise man scales a city, and of course Jesus told the disciples they were a city on a hill, could not be hidden. He called the disciples a city, so this is a city of people here. He scales the city and he of the mighty, and he brings down the stronghold in which they're trusting in. And years ago, I got a hold of this little tract that said, "How to Pray for the Lost." And basically, it's based on 2 Corinthians 10:4, 5, and 6, where it says, "The weapons of my warfare are not worldly, but mighty to God for the smashing down of strongholds." And so when I pray for people, and those of you who have lost people you're praying for, I break the power of Satan over their life, because the scripture says he's blinded the eyes of those that are lost, knowing that I have full authority over Satan, telling him to let certain people go. And I start observing what that's going on in their life, and I start tearing down those strongholds. I tear down strongholds of in their life. I cast down every imagination, every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and I take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that's a good way to pray for the lost. We all have people that we're praying for, and we see things in their life, we're scaling their city, and we need to bring down the strongholds in which they're trusting in, so they can know the truth, and the truth will set them free. A wise person's heart is directed to God's way. It says in Ephesians, we're to understand what the will of the Lord is. Proverbs 23, verse 19 says, "Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart to the way." That's the highway of holiness. Isaiah 35 says, "No lion, no fool, no unclean can walk that way." Years ago, there's a false prophet in Texas, one of Texas's number one false prophet, and he gave a prophecy that there was a highway and that sinners could get on it. And I wrote him a nice little email and said, "Brother, you are leading people astray." And he said, "I'm taking you off." I wasn't on his email list, but he said, "I'm taking you off my email list." He said, "Because you don't understand. If they got on that highway, they might change. See, that's a false doctrine. If you don't know God's word, you're going to believe everything that comes down the pike. And I'm telling you, there's some stuff that's coming down that isn't God. A wise man is strong and powerful. Proverbs 24:5 says, "A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power." Knowledge of God's word. A wise person will seek guidance and counsel before warring. Proverbs 24:6 says, "For by wise guidance you will wage war, and an abundance of counselors there's victory." God doesn't want us to be lone rangers. He wants us. We need each other. Thank God we're not all alike. He doesn't want. Can you imagine if we're the body of Christ, if everybody was a leg, what we'd look like? Just all legs, nothing else. Or say that we were all ears. Can you just imagine a body with just ears? He, all of us are divine originals. You cannot be anybody else, and nobody can be you. God knew exactly when He let you be conceived what He had for you in this world. And I've told people that I love, as long as you're on God's potter's wheel, you cannot miss God. Don't think your life's over. Just get on the potter's wheel and leave the driving to Him. You know what? We're too busy telling the shepherd what needs to be done. And I'm not saying we're not to ask God, because He says, "Ask and you shall receive." But it's time that we start letting the shepherd lead us to green pastures and beside still waters, and prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. It's time we quit turning the potter's wheel and start following the good shepherd rather than trying to lead Him. We're guilty of that. We all have our ideas, and we live in fear, anxiety, and stress. The other day, I don't see myself as a fearful person, but the other day I was thinking, now, my secretary has been so sick, and I've been so concerned because she reads things for me, she does things for me. I'm thinking, dear God, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? And I just thought that I was stressing, and the Lord showed me that that can be a root of glaucoma. Because if you're under pressure, and so I feel like that was something that the Lord really showed me, and I just said, "Okay, Lord, thank you for showing me that. And when I start stressing, remind me to just let it go." And I'm telling you, there's been some deliverance in my life through that. And so I'm going to keep on trusting the Lord instead of He's got things worked out. Sometimes this is kind of a silly thing. Sometimes, you know, you think your schedule, somebody, you know, I like everything to go according to schedule. But sometimes when the schedule doesn't go right, I let it go. But I find out God rearranged that schedule because this is silly. I have a lady that's worked for me for every 2 weeks. She works for me to clean my house and do things I don't like to do, like vacuum, you know, that kind of stuff. Dust and vacuum. Otherwise, you could write your name on everything, probably. But anyway, she called and said, "Can I come next week?" And I thought, I was so glad she didn't come because I had to get ready to go. You know, I have to clean the house before she gets there because she hides stuff. If I don't put everything up and get everything just right, I can't find where I left something. You know, I have everything in my prayer room. It's just in a little pile, and she rearranges the pile, you know. But God's got it all worked out. He has scheduled every day of your life before you were born. But you got to stay on the potter's wheel. And so, and a wise person is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you're red, yellow, black, white, rich, poor, sick, well, tall, short, fat, skinny. He loves you because the lover of the universe lives in him. He loves because Jesus Christ is love. So he's no respecter of persons. And people that do respect persons and are prejudiced and show partiality, let me tell you something, you better check out your salvation because you're heading the wrong direction. God says without love covers a multitude of sins. The scripture says that the new covenant is fulfilled when you love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your body, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I don't know about you, but I got to work on that part. Loving my neighbor as myself. Because I can kind of be where I don't give a rip. And that's not right. And Lord, I ask you to change that about me. There's some people, honestly, I don't care if they do go to hell. That's terrible. I'm just confessing my sin. You know, wicked people, you know, I just said, you know, George Soros, for example, that's financing all these protesters. Right. See him in a tub and throw him in the ocean. No, that's the wrong attitude. Lord, we ask you to save that man. But I'm just saying that some people, I don't care if they are here. That's not right. And I confess my faults before you and I'll be delivered and healed in Jesus' name. But I want you to know I care about you. I really care about people that really want to walk in repentance and get free. I'm telling you, I have such patience and love for people that want to get free and want to love the Lord and are trying with all their heart. That's what the Bible says about the poor. The poor are those people that are pious, trying to do right, trying to make it, and can't make it. But I haven't had a lot of caring for people that won't repent. But anyway, that's wrong. So a wise person is no respecter of persons. A wise person is like apples of gold in settings of silver to a listening ear. It says in Proverbs 25, verse 12, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. So if an ear won't listen, you know, they don't really like what they're hearing. But if a person listens, the wise counsel he's listening to is like apples of gold in settings of silver and like an ornament of fine gold. A wise person will turn away from anger. Proverbs 29, verse 8 says, "Scorners set a city aflame, but wise men turn away anger." Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back." You know, Galatians 5:19 says, if you practice anger, if you're an angry person and that's your lifestyle to be angry, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. It says that, if you practice anger. And so anger is linked to idolatry, and the Bible says no idolater will enter the kingdom of heaven. If you're a person that just gets angry and is a little spitfire and always throwing fits and getting angry, the Bible says you go into prison every time you let the sun go down on your anger. And a person that's so touchy and always gets offended, easily gets offended, is just a wounded person. And all those wounds are linked to idolatry, to a place where you didn't go to God and let him heal you. So all of those button pushers in those sore places have to be healed. But God wants to heal them. But you've got to acknowledge you've got a problem. I heard the other day that there's research being done that within an hour after somebody has a fit of rage or gets angry, they're five times more apt to have a heart attack or stroke within that hour. And when you're angry, the scripture says that you'll go into a spiritual prison and you'll stay there till you forgive. So a wise person's going to deal with his anger. I don't allow it in my life. I'm thankful I've had years of deliverance, but if something makes me mad, I say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me? What is it about me you want to change? And that's probably the greatest thing that God ever taught me is when somebody else is bothering me or something has bothered me, it's because God is trying to show me something about my life. I either did it or judged my parents for it. And so if you can get that principle down in your soul, other people are not going to bother you half as bad when you realize God's trying to get a message over to you. A wise person turns away evil. Proverbs 29:8 says, "Scorners set a city aflame, but wise men turn away anger." A wise person holds back his anger. A wise person builds his house on a secure foundation, the foundation of Jesus. Matthew 7 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock." And, of course, the rock is Jesus. "And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew against that house, and great was its fall, for It says the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And it didn't say, if the flood comes. The flood is coming. In fact, the flood is already here. In Revelation 12:11, it says that the serpent pours forth water, which is words, the water of the word versus words that are contrary to the word of God. He pours forth water from his mouth like a flood against the woman, the church, that he might sweep her away with the flood. It says in, I believe, Isaiah, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. So we got to know God's word. If I say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, through God I can do valiantly, for it is he who has down my foes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That's rivers of living water. And so the opposite of that is the flood that's trying to come against us now through the movies that are planting demonic things down in our lives, the witchcraft, the internet, the news media. I'm telling you, it's eating off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yeah. It's easy for us to believe what we hear from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what we hear over the internet, what we hear over the television, but it's hard to believe God's word because we've not been eating off the tree of life. And so, Lord, we ask you to forgive us for eating off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and not eating off the tree of life. So the flood's already here to sweep us away. You know, when God destroyed the world with a flood of water, he promised that he would never destroy it again with a flood of with water. But the flood is a spiritual flood coming against us. Matthew 25 says, "The kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." So they were church members because they thought they were the bride of Christ. Is that correct? They thought they were the bride of Christ, so they go out to meet the bridegroom. So that tells us that they were sitting under the word. It says five of them were wise and five of them were foolish and five were prudent or wise. Prudent and wise is the same thing. "For when they took their lamps, they had no oil with them." They didn't have the Holy Spirit. "But the prudent took oil in their flask along with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all these virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil for the lamp, for our lamps are going out.' The prudent or the wise answered, 'No, there's not enough for us. You two go out to the dealers, the merchants, the false prophets," is what that means, "and buy some for yourself, because they'll tell you you're okay." It says, "And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut."
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.